Women in the menopause transition are losing 2 to 3% of bone density per year, along with the loss of lean muscle mass. Our bones and our muscles give us strength, stability, flexibility, and are metabolically active, keeping us youthful. In fact, the muscles are our key to longevity. Thanks to the brilliant guest experts I've had on the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast, I understand the importance of getting enough protein daily to build lean muscle and maintain bone density. I can struggle to eat enough protein daily. Even when I was eating protein at every meal, I still wasn't getting enough. So I take Keon Aminos daily to support and supplement my diet. Keon Aminos ensures that you are getting the essential amino acids from protein your body needs to build muscle and keep energetic and strong. Keon Aminos is clean source, transparent formula that gets mixed into water and tastes good. It is suitable for all diets and is gluten and dairy free. When I take Keon Aminos, I feel satisfied, full, and hydrated. It keeps sugar cravings at bay. My mental health is better, and I sleep better. I feel strong and ready for whatever might come my way. Strong, flexible, healthy, for my whole life is my aim. If you would like to supplement protein intake with Keon Aminos, please visit getkeon.com/lovely, where Keon is offering 20% off for the listeners of the show. That's getkeon, GETKION.com/lovely for 20% off your order of Keon Aminos. Thanks, Keon.
Welcome to Not Your Mother's Menopause, making hormones make sense with Dr. Fiona Lovely. Dr. Lovely is an expert on health, treating women and their families from around the world. Her specialities include endocrinology, functional neurology, and functional medicine. Please visit us at drlovely.com. And now, here's the doctor.
Dr. Fiona Lovely here of Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast, Making Hormones Make Sense. Super excited to be with you this week. I thought I would take a class I did a few years ago on that I had called Sex Magic and Menopause and condense it down to some of its most important points to share with you today. So our topic for today is sexual desire in perimenopause and beyond. This is also referred to as libido. You may have heard that term before. Anyways, a number of things that I want to discuss with you. First of all, certainly is the hormone dance that happens, well, all the time for women, but certainly becomes even louder. It's more of a orchestra and dance when we get to perimenopause. So when we have too much estrogen, again, it comes back to that estrogen to progesterone ratio, needs to be in an appropriate ratio, and the best way to test that is via saliva testing. When our estrogen levels are high, it turns out our desire lessens. But it's not so simple as just taking the estrogen dominance out, because it turns out that lowered levels of estrogen are what can cause us to become dry and have painful intercourse. So, but you know, you have to look at the hormones like a seesaw. The symptoms of too much estrogen and the symptoms of not enough estrogen can often be the very same things, or the opposite, or with progesterone, or many of the other hormones as well. So it's not quite that simple. There's a lot of things to consider. But you know, when you look at the symptoms of perimenopause, you know, the hot flashes, the night sweats, the bitchiness, irritability, the mood swings, the insomnia, the sort of menopausal anger, you know, all of those things kind of, first of all, don't really make us feel sexy, but certainly really don't encourage a healthy sex life when we're talking about including another person. Anyways, the other thing that can happen with the hormones, of course, in perimenopause is because we allow a stressful lifestyle, the hormones of the stress cascade. The adrenal glands are constantly pumping out cortisol. And remember, we talked about how once you're in perimenopause, you have either the opportunity, with the help of the adrenal glands, to use the mother hormone, pregnenolone, to make either cortisol or progesterone, but not both. So if you're constantly in a stress state, you're constantly having a stress response, which frankly is most of us, myself too, I'm just as addicted as anybody else to the chaos and stress of life, then you can't have that balance between estrogen and progesterone. Stress is not a very sexy thing, to be honest, but yet somehow we wear it as a badge of honor. And I hope that's changing, because I got to tell you, that's been the conversation trend in the office this week, has been women asking me about self-care or completely ignoring their own self-care and being so unaware of it. Or really looking for a way to reconnect to themselves. So there is a deeper conversation coming about self-care in hopefully in the near future with the podcast. Okay, so what I want to tell you also about hormones is that when your thyroid is out of whack, because the thyroid gland controls cellular function throughout the entire body through multiple levels of cellular function and metabolism. When it's not working properly, either high or low, hypo or hyper, you can't really have a normal sex drive then either. And I really want to resist using the term normal around sex drive, because it is literally different for every person. It is different for every couple. And it's a very much a negotiated piece of a relationship. And in fact, I do want to say too that libido or sex drive is not just a physical experience. It's very much an emotional and even spiritual experience. You have to get the balance right there in order for you to feel like you want to share yourself with another person, if that's your expression of healthy sexuality. Let's put it that way. It may just be that you want to have a healthy sex life with yourself. That's fine too. No judgment. But in the case of partner interaction. Anyways, so let's talk about pelvic floor health, because for women this is a big deal. Do you, as you are gaining more life experience, which is the way I choose to say aging at this point, do you find that you wet yourself when you sneeze or laugh or cough, or maybe you dribble a little bit when you're exercising or even walking? First of all, this is a very, very common thing for women, especially if we've had babies, multiple babies, or we've had, you know, weight loss, weight gain, or hormonal changes, or hysterectomy, and frankly, that's most of us, that list right there. So anyways, it turns out that the pelvic floor health is a lot more involved than just doing your Kegels. And what I mean by that is that the Kegels aim to strengthen those muscles, and that's fine. However, it turns out that stretching them, because they spasm, is often yields a better result. So the way you stretch your pelvic floor is you need to be able to discern when you're using the muscles of urination. Okay, so the way that you do that, safely and cleanly, let's say, is squat in the shower to pee. Become aware of what muscles you're using to start the flow and stop the flow. And become aware of the sense of what you're relaxing while you urinate. Okay? Now, once you're aware of that, then you can use that on dry land, if you will. You can use that sensation to target those muscles, and you really want to target that stretching or relaxation of those muscles. It turns out that this not only will increase the functionality of the pelvic floor, which means tighter muscles around the urinary opening, the sphincters there, but also increases brain activation and orgasmic strength. So, like, really, there's no reason not to. Just good all the way around. So it turns out that the number one reason women end up in a care home for the elderly is because of urinary incontinence. The number one reason. So it really behooves you to figure out how you can treat this for yourself so that you don't become a burden to your family and really, really can control this. Okay, so next thing I want to talk about is the emotional connection with self. When you have a deep emotional connection to yourself, your needs, your wants, your desires, you can have a better intimacy with a partner. And, you know, this is the emotional connection for women is the most important factor in regards to sexuality. And let me sort of piece that out for you a little bit. So have you ever had the experience of snapping at either a partner, a friend, or perhaps an unsuspecting stranger when you had PMS? Sometimes you're not even aware that you have PMS until you have that moment of losing your shit on somebody else. Anyways, so that's the dance of hormones. And with the dance of hormones comes a thinning of the veil, I like to call it, where we're given an opportunity to correct hidden inner conflicts. I like to think of it like we're a lot more tolerant of other people's bullshit or what shows up in our lives that is not a high priority for us, but we kind of shut up and put up the rest of the month. But as we get to that, you know, PMS-y time, that veil is thinned and, well, you just can't hold it in. You just got to let it out. Anyways, turns out perimenopause, this also happens. PMS, this happens. And postpartum is another time. And I, you know, we can speculate whether or not postpartum depression has something to do with just that thinning of the veil and the sensitivity that must come with that time. So those times, those hormonal, where the dance and the orchestra of hormones is going so much louder than other times in our lives, this is the time we get called to resolve those issues. You see, it turns out that perimenopause prepares us for an amazing second act of our lives, but if we haven't resolved those issues, if we have relationships that are no longer serving us, if we have poor habits of eating and thinking, then all of that stuff creates a disconnect in our emotional world. And because sex is business of the mind, if the mind isn't settled, then how can you expect to have a decent sex life? It really just makes sense in this time. But the good news is once you clean house emotionally, you can tap into that sacred space where you can relearn what satisfies you, what turns you on, what makes you feel desirable and desired. And, you know, it may not have anything to do with sex at all, but it may have everything to do with sex. So just keeping that, you want to be plugged into your source energy, really. And we become very unplugged over years of taking care of others before ourselves, you know, years of building up resentments and other unsatisfactory things in our lives. It really gives us a chance to dive in and clean house, clean house. So it isn't so much that we turn away from sex at perimenopause, but we're called to turn inward, tuning into our deepest and most unexpressed needs. And I think if you don't take that time to process, to make that process, then you can look forward to quite an unsatisfactory second act, if you will. Okay, So next point, we're addicted to chaos. We're drawn to situations which confirm and affirm our misery. What the hell is going on? We're literally drawn to the drama. You know, the brain is a funny thing. It will go to places that give you a burst of neurotransmitter release. And oftentimes those are things like addictions, compulsions, drama, emotional situations, bad relationships, etc. So when you have that addiction to that chaos, instead of being plugged into our source energy, we become bitter and hardened instead of juicy. And it's really easy for that to happen. You know, Mother Nature gives us a chance at perimenopause to deal with all the emotional shit we haven't dealt with beforehand. So what happens if we don't do that is we start living from the waist up or even the neck up, which means that all of that anxiety and depression and anger and all of that unresolved crap is just coming up and coming out in every moment. And ladies, that is not sexy. I have experienced it myself. It's not, it's not a good time. So just don't do it. Just take care of your emotional baggage as it comes up. And finally, just to wrap today, I wanted to give you a checklist of other things which might be at play. Because, you know, this issue of sex drive and libido is multifactorial, and it is a massive conversation. And there are tomes that can take you deeper into some of these subjects for sure. But, you know, there's some biggies that we are often loath to talk about. Here they are: mother, father, teacher, preacher. So what were you taught about sex? What were you taught that good girls do or good girls don't? And are you still operating from that point of view, even as an adult? Is religion playing a part? I understand that there's a guilt that comes with some religions that can certainly make you... It can add to the baggage of sex drive at perimenopause, for sure. As can politics, right? You know, there are some political issues that just have a way of permeating a woman's body, even though our bodies are nobody's business but our own. Is that at play for you? And I think finally I want to say, like, innocent ignorance. And what I mean by that is nobody teaches women about our erotic anatomy. I mean, think about how many references to the penis there are, even when you took sex ed in high school, or I think they teach it in elementary school now. But when I went to, when I was that age, it was high school, all kinds of references to the penis, but did I ever hear the word clitoris? I don't think so. That's stuff I had to figure out for myself. And unfortunately, there's not great education about that. So we're left to figure out our erotic anatomy. Speaking of clitoris, it's no wonder that our male partners can't find the clitoris, because oftentimes early on, we can't find it either. Nobody teaches us where it is. And just as a final thought, the clitoris actually has twice as many nerve endings as the penis. So it's just as important, if not more. Anyways, I've loved having this conversation with you today. As always, we can continue this conversation anytime. Email me, Dr. Lovely, at drlovely.expert. You can find us on our Facebook page, Not Your Mother's Menopause, Making Hormones Make Sense podcast page on Facebook, and my website, drlovely.expert. Thanks for being here.
The views and nutritional advice expressed by Dr. Fiona Lovely are not intended to be a substitute for conventional medical service. If you have or suspect that you have a medical problem, promptly contact your healthcare provider. No information offered here should be interpreted as a diagnosis of any disease, nor an attempt to treat or prevent or cure any disease or condition. As with any new advice or program, you should always contact your healthcare provider prior to starting anything new. Thank you. Women in the menopause transition are losing 2 to 3% of bone density per year, along with the loss of lean muscle mass. Our bones and our muscles give us strength, stability, flexibility, and are metabolically active, keeping us youthful. In fact, the muscles are our key to longevity. Thanks to the brilliant guest experts I've had on the Not Your Mother's Menopause podcast, I understand the importance of getting enough protein daily to build lean muscle and maintain bone density. I can struggle to eat enough protein daily. Even when I was eating protein at every meal, I still wasn't getting enough. So I take Keon Aminos daily to support and supplement my diet. Keon Aminos ensures that you are getting the essential amino acids from protein your body needs to build muscle and keep energetic and strong. Keon Aminos is clean source, transparent formula that gets mixed into water and tastes good. It is suitable for all diets and is gluten and dairy free. When I take Keon Aminos, I feel satisfied, full, and hydrated. It keeps sugar cravings at bay. My mental health is better, and I sleep better. I feel strong and ready for whatever might come my way. Strong, flexible, healthy, for my whole life is my aim. If you would like to supplement protein intake with Keon Aminos, please visit getkeon.com/lovely, where Keon is offering 20% off for the listeners of the show. That's getkeon, GetKeon.com/lovely for 20% off your order of Keon Aminos. Thanks, Keon.